Welcome to the Fresh Start Podcast, episode 15, brought to you by attorneys Gina Cho and Jeff Curl of JC Law Group, whose practice is dedicated to bankruptcy for individuals and small businesses. Thanks for joining us. I'm Matt Hayes. Please note that this podcast is not legal advice. For more information, visit jclawgroup.com. Now let's welcome Gina and Jeff to our podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Matt?
I'm well. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good. Thanks, Matt.
As we continue on with our six building blocks to creating a healthy financial future, and by the way, if you miss what all six are or miss number one, go back and start at the beginning. It's the easiest way to follow along. Go to jclawgroup.com, click on the blog button, and you will see them in our podcast section there. Gina and Jeff, let's move on to our second part, which is pay down debt. In episode number one, we talked about maximizing income and decreasing your expenses so that way you have a little extra cash to be able to put towards paying down your debt, because many times we talked about the credit, using your credit card, and all those little things add up, and that's how you get into trouble. Now let's talk about getting ourselves out of trouble and using all this extra money and putting it towards paying down this debt. Where do we start with this, Gina?
I think the first step is to take stock of your financial situation. So a lot of times when I meet with a client and I ask them, how much debt do you have? And they just get this look on their face like, what do you mean? How much debt do I have? And it's, you know, for a lot of people, they avoid their situation. They stop opening the bills and they really have no idea how much debt they're in. So I think that's a great place to start, is if you've been avoiding even looking at those bills, start doing it, make a list, and figure out, because you need to know, do you have $100,000 of debt or do you have 50? I mean, you know, it makes a difference. So I think that's a great place to start.
Once you have an idea of how much debt you have, I mean, part of that idea is going to be individual pieces. How much do you owe to each creditor? What's the interest rate? What's the principal you owe? And sitting down and looking at it, okay, you know, I've got 5 credit cards, but I've got one that's really high. It's $15,000 at 20%. That minimum payment, you know, I'm paying that thing each month and just getting nowhere. And so prioritizing it and bargain with your creditors first. Call your credit card company, call Chase, call Discover, call Amex, and say, hey, can I get a lower interest rate? A lot of times they will. Sometimes they won't. And I haven't figured out any rhyme or reason as to why, because we hear that from clients all the time. I've been a customer for 15 years, never been late. And then boom, you know, they raised it or whatever. I was late once and it's just unforgiven. But first, just try to see if you have income and you have the ability on paper to pay back your expenses, let's say in 5 years or something, and that's something you want to do, then see if you can get your creditors to work with you. A lot of time, people are just afraid to call. Half the time, they're just happy to hear from you and happy to work with you. But don't start doing that unless you sit down and do the math and you can figure out that you can exit this thing within a reasonable amount of time. If you're going to be spending this for 30 years, maybe that's not such a good idea.
I think you have to have that honest conversation at the beginning with yourself and taking a look at the numbers. It's so easy to avoid that. But the first step is, you know, what's the first step in any situation? It's admitting you have a problem and saying, here's where we're at and here's how we can go from here. Once you do that, then it's just a matter of taking the educational steps that you need to do to, you know, get it changed then. So along with calling and asking for a lower interest rate, what else can people do?
There's lots of different options in dealing with your debt. The first step is to just maximize your income, minimize your expenses, and see how much money you can generate at the end of the month that's left over that you can use to pay your bills, and then run one of those credit card calculators. So let's say you have $400 left over at the end of the month, you need to ask yourself, if I'm paying $400 a month on $20,000 a credit card at 12% interest, how long is that going to take me? And is that length of time acceptable? Because if that's not, then you have to figure out something else to do. A lot of people just get into this groove of, I'll just make my monthly minimum payment. As long as I make my monthly minimum payment, everything is good. And that's a horrible thing to do, because you're literally throwing your money away month after month by doing that. If you call up your credit cards and they're not willing to work with you on reducing the interest rate, there's a nonprofit company called Consumer Credit Counseling Services. And what they'll do is they'll bundle up all of your credit cards and they reduce the interest rates at a fixed rate and basically put you on a payment plan, and they take, you know, a few dollars every month for their services. And I think it's a great way to go if you're unsuccessful in negotiating the interest rate on your own.
And the Consumer Credit Counseling Service, CCCS, is limited to credit cards. They don't deal with medical debts or business debts or other types. It's all credit cards. And I don't know if they get involved either after, like, a lawsuit's been engaged, for example, by a credit card company. So they have a limited field, but it's the most common field, which is just credit card debt. People with overwhelming credit card debt, they can often work out a plan where you sit down, you do a budget, and they say, okay, here's your debt, and we will come up with a payment plan based on your budget over so many years. It's okay. You know, it can work. It can help some people. I've seen some that it hasn't been that great, where they took the client filled out a budget, and that budget was unrealistic. You know, the family of four, the food budget of like $250 or something ridiculous like that. That's just not enough money. So the family could not afford the payment. You know, they struggled for a few months, and then they just ended up dropping out. It's got its advantages. It's got its benefits. It's also got some disadvantages too. Gina, what about something else like debt restructuring? What is that?
Debt restructuring is a way where you negotiate with the creditor to change the terms of the loan. So it may be they may reduce the principal amount, or they may reduce the interest rate. Typically, the creditors won't work with you in doing any sort of debt restructuring until you've defaulted on your loan, meaning you stop paying on it. And I think the debt restructuring tends to work more for like SBA loans, business loans, and things like that. Not so much. I don't know if it really works to, you know, that well for credit cards in my experience.
Debt restructuring is essentially debt settlement in a way, where you just arrive, you change some of the terms, whether it's principal or interest and or both, and length of time, and you get reach some type of agreement. The thing I want to say about debt settlement is if you have a $10,000 loan and you settle it for 30 cents on the dollar, you get a good settlement, they chop off 7,000. Just remember that there can be tax consequences that flow from that. And that 7,000 that was written off is going to be written off as cancellation of debt. So that's income to you. You're going to get a 1099-C. There can be ways around that through certain tax forms and documents, but it's getting a little sophisticated. So I just be aware that happens. And especially if you do a large settlement, you can really get hit with a lot of tax liability. And it's one thing to owe, you know, Bank of America something. It's another to owe the IRS.
And that stuff all adds up very, very quickly. No matter what, you're still going to end up paying some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I mean, you may get a discount and it may work to your advantage. Maybe you have write-offs and that you can, so you can take the hit and it doesn't affect you. There can be ways that it works out. It's just some people, they just get so focused on the idea of getting debt settlement that they kind of have these blinders on and they miss some of the consequences of it. Just one other comment I want to make about debt settlement is avoid the debt settlement companies in general. These people who say, give us $1,000 a month or whatever amount, and we'll just build up an escrow account, basically. And as soon as we get enough money, we'll just start settling with your creditors. We've seen this over and over. And the problem with this is that, especially if you have multiple creditors, they often don't settle with a lot of the creditors. And so they'll take this money and they'll take a huge fee for themselves. And then you end up getting sued by one, two, three of your creditors. And so they'll take money for themselves. They may pay off one, maybe two, maybe three creditors. Then you'll get sued by three. And then you've got three lawsuits or whatever's going on that you have to defend. You might find yourself litigating, which is way more expensive than debt settlement. Or you may find yourself in bankruptcy and you may have just spent money settling for no reason. I find the debt settlement companies really sketchy.
Yeah, and just sort of as a general observation, there's nothing that the debt settlement company is going to be able to do for you that you're not going to be able to do for yourself. Most of the time when clients come in and they say, well, I don't want to file for bankruptcy, I want to do debt settlement, the first question I have for them is, well, how much money do you have to settle your debts? And it's usually like, I don't know, I have $200 in my checking account. And clearly the $200 is not going to be sufficient to settle their debt. So if you are interested in doing debt settlement, really the end goal is to try and stockpile as much cash as you possibly can. And at some point when you have enough cash, you make an offer to the bank and say, listen, I will FedEx over a check to you for X amount of dollars tomorrow if you settle my debt in full, and just do it that way. There's really no need for these debt settlement companies.
The last option that's available for people is bankruptcy. At what point do you take a look at the options that we just mentioned before and realize this probably is not going to be the most logical way to go through and take care of this problem, and filing for Chapter 7 or Chapter 13 would be the best bet?
There is no set formula for exactly when to come in, but I can tell you earlier the better. And whatever your symptoms are, that you're losing sleep, you're afraid to open the mail, you're fighting with the spouse, there's just lots of symptoms out there. And the earlier intervention, the better, because your options are more and the cost is usually less. The more people delay, the more complicated it gets, the more expensive it gets. And sometimes your options are chopped off and we can't do some things that we could do earlier on. And if you're not a bankruptcy candidate, we will tell you and we'll talk about alternatives. Like that's what this has mostly been about, is alternatives. And so it's very common for us to recommend something else other than bankruptcy, or to refer you to some other professional of some other type that might be a better fit for what you need. But know that we're in your back pocket if you do need that option.
Can you think of an example of a client that just waited too long to come in and see you? And what are those types of mistakes that a lot of clients make?
Well, certainly one that I see far too often is someone who has been struggling and they liquidate their retirement accounts. They liquidate them to pay off their creditors with no real end game in sight. They're just buying themselves time. And people have spent decades building this, and they will liquidate 100, 200, 300, 500,000. And then they come and file bankruptcy. They could have just gotten rid of these debts and kept their retirement in most cases. That's a killer one. Or waiting too long on the house, like on foreclosure. Sometimes you get that call the same day, I'm going to be foreclosed, you know, at 2 p.m. today. Can you do anything? And something, you know, usually we're busy and we're obligated at that point to other clients, and we can't just drop everything or a court date or something and do it. So yeah, it happens a lot.
Yeah. Another common situation I see is where people are servicing their credit card debts and not paying their mortgages, which of course leads to foreclosure. And then they come in and they're like, what do I do? Had they stayed current on their mortgage instead of paying their credit cards, they probably will have more options available to them.
Pretty much it goes back to the basics, what we talked about at the beginning of get ahead of the game, start sitting down, looking at the numbers, being open and honest and chatting with people and starting this early.
No, I think that's a good summary.
So we'll talk about our next step, number three, starting an emergency fund, in our next podcast. If you need some more information about this, go back and listen through again. And also make sure to check number one if you missed it, maximize income and decrease expenses. They'll make this one understand a little bit easier, too, if you didn't go through number one yet. Gina and Jeff, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information and to listen to other episodes of our podcast, as well as to learn about our 30 favorite budget tips, go to jclawgroup.com. JC Law Group is a debt relief agency under the United States Bankruptcy Code.